Okay, I'm going to stand so I can see everybody and can hopefully deal with questions. And I'm going to take a little bit of liberty with the agenda as listed for this and kind of combine the two into one. Mm-hmm. And I want to start out with just a few remarks. First of all, I want to thank the people that have been so involved in putting this meeting together. I want to thank Deb for, I believe she's the one who found us this hotel, and it certainly is very comfortable, and I hope all of you were comfortable last night, in spite of the fact that they tried to put Kimry in Andrea's room. But at whatever hour, that was solved.
Did Andrea object?
I don't know. Maybe Kimry objected, but I think...
They were all very nice about it.
I think that Ken stepped up to the plate and allowed him to use the second bed in his room, and so consequently, at least I believe that everyone that was here last night, no matter what time they got in, had a place to sleep, and I don't think anyone had to resort to a couch in the lobby, although they look pretty comfy, too. So thanks, everybody, for rolling with the punches, and we had a few issues at the front desk as I got in yesterday, and a couple of people were there trying to check in, but we solved that one pretty quickly, so... Thanks to everybody. I want to thank Bill and Deb and everybody else that's been involved with coordinating transportation. I know that we've had a number of people out there at the airport at some pretty wild hours and running people around. And so thank you, everybody. Also, thanks to all of you who tried so hard to help us out by abiding by the guidelines that we had established with making your reservations 2 weeks in advance. My calculations show that we saved somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000 by doing that. Wow. And also by working hard and really sitting on our travel agent to find the cheapest flights possible. All the way around, it's been a great cooperative effort. And I'm hoping that that is the spirit in which we're starting this year and that we'll be going forward. That said, I'm going to address another issue, and that is... I'm going to call it Pacifica time. We put out times for meetings. We always have a handful of people that show up on time. And I think it's really rude to them when we make them sit around for 30, 40 minutes before we start a session because the rest of us can't get our tails in at the appointed time. If we want to start 30 minutes later, let's set that time. But let's change Pacifica time to real time and agree on a time and figure that we're going to start at the time that we've set or very, very close to it. It's just rude to the people who do try to adhere to it, and I think it gets us off on a bad foot. And then my last piece, you hear it from me every time, but I really want to talk about cooperation, working together, and I'd like everybody to take just a moment to think about what does Pacifica Foundation, what does the Pacifica Network of Radio Stations, what does your radio station mean to you? How important is it that we have progressive radio in this country? That's why I joined this network, because I felt that progressive voices in this country were being stilled. Unfortunately, since the last election, I think we've seen, if anything, even more stilling of progressive voices. Progressive voices don't even get to the table to talk about issues. One of my pet peeves is the fact that single-payer people were completely shut out of the health care debate and didn't even get to sit at the table. I never expected that we could get single-payer through our Congress. But I did think that that's where we'd start and that we might end up with a decent public option rather than a windfall for the insurance companies. I could go on and on about specific issues. I think that one of the accomplishments that I'm proudest of this organization for accomplishing in the last year is the addition of Al Jazeera English to our airwaves. I cannot tell you how many calls and letters and emails, not so many letters, not too many people take time to write anything out by hand anymore, although I think I have had two even handwritten letters thanking me for the fact, or thanking Pacifica for the fact, that we are bringing Al Jazeera English. And what better accomplishment could or fortune could we have had than to have started it not too long before the Egyptian crisis? I certainly don't want to benefit by anyone else's misfortunes, but when the rest of the country, and I certainly also appreciate the coverage that Amy Goodman was giving, is not even managing to have people in there covering it, and we were getting Al Jazeera English out, and not right after that, we were able to also start delivering it to the affiliates, at least the daily program. I'm extremely proud of this organization for taking that step, and I'm proud of the stations for the way they stepped up to the plate and for the decisions that they made in many cases to preempt programs in order to carry things that were happening in Egypt live. And so I hope you'll take that back to your local stations, that there are a lot of people out there that are really proud of what's been happening. And I want to thank the folks in New York and the folks in Texas particularly for the work that they've done with editing and making those programs available and getting them out on a timely basis. And I want to thank John, and I think we should really give him a round of applause, because he gets called in the middle of the night to solve the problems whenever. Doesn't make up for the sleep he loses, but at least maybe he'll feel the gratitude that some of us feel for what he's been doing in that direction. I'd also...
Just 1 minute.
Yeah.
Since you were acknowledging the Egypt coverage, I also wanted to acknowledge the good work done by Robert Knight in New York and Tahrir, giving daily Egyptian and Middle Eastern coverage.
That's good. James?
Yes, and also, since you were speaking rather globally about things, one thing that I wanted to do is to recognize the management and staff at WPFW for having broadcasts for 6 hours in regard to the issues before Congress in terms of public broadcasting and the continued funding of that. This, I think, was an outstanding thing that we had taken time out of our drive to undertake. And this is something I think that was of very great importance to the network.
You are right about that. And that was the next thing on my list. But back to Al Jazeera for just a moment, or to the Egyptian crisis for just a moment. For those of you that aren't aware of it, our archives are putting together a special thank you gift that encompasses some of the best coverage from the Egyptian crisis that can be used as a premium on your local fund drives. It incorporates much of the broadcasting that was also done by our local stations. I know that KPFA has a Middle Eastern program, and they did a fantastic forum on the air. And I'm pretty sure I know that there was a series of programs in Los Angeles. So I'm sure that every one of our stations were doing some special coverage on what was happening in Egypt, and they've gone out of their way to try to include every station as a part of that, along with the some of the national coverage and so forth. So that should be a really good premium. Campbell brought it up. The next thing on my list was the CPB issue. Mm-hmm. I have sent out a number of memos to the station general managers and program directors to please, please, please be covering this on your airwaves, get it on your websites. We need to be speaking up. And one of the topics for this morning's training is your responsibilities as board members. One of your responsibilities is to be abreast of things that will or could affect the foundation, could affect your radio stations, and we need you to take individual action as well as board action. That means you need to be sending emails, making phone calls, whatever you can do with your congresspeople and your congressional representatives and your senator to be sure that they understand the importance of the continuation of funding for public media. And CPB is the key. Part of the funding, a large grant that the archives have received this year, come through one of the branches of CPB. You know, some of the history of this country would not be preserved if it weren't for Pacifica. Things that were carried on our network, voices that were carried by our stations, were not preserved by anyone else. Mm-hmm. And if we don't take efforts to preserve those in a long-term fashion, they will be lost forever. I can't say enough how important I consider the archives to our mission. And that means that we need as board members, or you need as board members, to be actually watching and requesting a few things from your stations. We need to make sure that archives of programs get to the archives, that things are being sent to the archives, that we aren't just claiming them for an individual station and thinking, oh, we're going to keep this and this is going to be our little premium. I mean, it's not just a matter of premiums. It's a matter of the history of this country. And unfortunately, the history books, we know about the history books in Russia and the history books in Germany and how they were rewritten at certain periods in history.
Not to mention the ones here in Texas.
We don't talk a lot about what happened in this country. And all you have to do is live in the South for a while, and you become very aware of how much we don't know. But you didn't have to grow up in the South. I grew up in Chicago, and I became very aware of the difficulties of race in this country at a very early age. And while I've seen a lot of changes and I think a lot of improvement, it's not good enough. And Pacifica is part of the voice out there that's making people aware that there still are issues. As a woman, I have to complain right now and speak very loudly about what's happening to women in this country. Our rights are being taken away right and left. And no matter what someone believes on certain issues, if we believe in freedom of speech, then I don't want our Congress taking away the freedom of organizations to operate and the funding to help young people survive in this country. And what's been happening with Planned Parenthood recently and some of the other attacks on women in Congress literally make my stomach turn, and I hope they make yours turn too. That's what we're about as Pacifica in my mind, and what I'm asking each one of you to do is to think about what that means to you, why that's important for Pacifica, and how we can function as a network to cooperate and to take action on those things that are really important to us, how we can deal with the important issues and stop putting so much attention on our minor differences. I think that's one of our biggest problems on the left, that we tend to concentrate on the minor differences and we think my voice is so important and I have to prevail with what I have to say, and we don't stop to think that our collective voice is what's really important, and there are a lot of issues that we can't agree on. And so I'm asking you to keep that in mind as we go through this meeting. And one last thing that I'd like to mention, and that is something that I've observed over my first year with the organization, is that sometimes we don't take time to think through what we're going to say. And so we blurt out things that may be very hurtful to other people, or we talk at great length and don't stop to think that we could say this in two sentences and instead spend 20 or 30. And so one of the complaints that I hear and one of the things that I observe is many times we don't get very much done. And so if each one of us could take a moment before we speak to think about how we could put what we have to say succinctly, I think that we could accomplish a lot more. Those are my requests for this group. Obviously, I'm not a voting member of the body, but I deal with all of you on a regular basis and certainly with this board on a regular basis, and I want to request that you think about those things.
Rodrigo?
Yeah, I was listening to in terms of having the people who have been here, you know, the new program in Al Jazeera.
There you go.
I was listening that you were talking about, you know, how Al Jazeera has been now on the air, which is great. and we all agree about that, about the Middle East, about the North Africa situation. But I haven't heard, you know, how much are we as a network are planning to expand to cover, you know, the issues of the undocumented people. How much each of these radio stations are now, at this time, providing Spanish language programming to cover the issue of 12 million undocumented people who are suffering, to cover the issues of those who get massacred at the border, you know, those who get killed by the migra on this side and on the other side of Mexico. So how much we are we really taking care of our own business right here? Right? In KPFK, now we have 14 hours of Spanish language programming. I would like to know, and I would like to see, if we even are saying that we are progressive, how much each of these stations that belong to the Pacifica Foundation are going to be developing any Spanish, so the people, so we don't only talk about the situation of those people, but we let those people in their own language to express, you know, what is going on with it, what is going on with their own situations. We, as you know, the Latino, Latin American communities pay billions of dollars of taxes, right? And also, as we can see in the fund drives too, our names are there too, supporting this network. No? So we, and I was elected because of that, frankly. I belong to organizations, human rights organizations, people who has been killed, right? I got friends who have been killed, kidnapped, tortured, disappeared. And, you know, one of my, you know, obligations is to ask, please, take in consideration, there are 12 million people that have been left by the Democrats, and of course the Republicans, you know, more so, right? Pacifica Foundation cannot left them out, cannot left us out.
Thank you, Rodrigo.
Thank you. Right. That is a very important issue, and there are a number of issues. We could spend the entire morning talking about programming, but there are two things involved there. One is it's not actually the function of this body is to live up, is to make sure we live up to the mission. That's one of your responsibilities as board members. And so in that sense, it does intersect with programming. But in the sense of specific control of programming, that is not the job, according to the bylaws, of this organization. It is the job of each station. It is a part of the programming committee, and it is part of my responsibility in working with the managers and the program directors at each station. And hopefully we'll be doing a lot more with programming assessment as we get managers in place. One of the problems we've had this year is that we've had so many interim managers and interim program directors to deal with, it makes it difficult to tackle some of these topics on a long-range basis. Talking about your responsibilities as board members, first and foremost, the mission. And that's a good part of the mission that Rodrigo brought up, the fact that we do have a responsibility to make sure that we're getting the messages out there that we feel are important to this country and to our listeners. We need to be sure that our policies and our programming adhere to our mission statement. And so that's one of your responsibilities. Another very important responsibility that you have is monitoring and making sure that we are abiding by state and federal laws. And I think you all know that we're incorporated in the state of California, so the majority of our business as a foundation comes under the laws of the state of California. And that's maybe both a good and a bad thing. California has a little better track record in some of these areas than some of the other states, but it also can be a little bit more difficult to operate there sometimes. So we need to be sure that we're abiding by all state and federal laws. It's also your responsibility as board members to monitor and to make sure that the organization is in good financial health. And I know that we'll be spending a lot of time on that this weekend, and I don't want to break off into a discussion of that right now, because Laverne will be working with starting out with basic information as soon as I finish. It's your job to be sure that we pass a budget each year. Now, I have to say that at this point, we're way behind on our responsibilities for this fiscal year, because we do not have an approved budget for the organization. We do for some units, but not for the organization this year. And if you look at the bylaws, when you look at the budgeting process, and there seems to be a lot of confusion over what the responsibility is, if you look under the responsibilities of the LSB, they have the right to look at or to recommend a budget in conjunction with their staff, but the final authority, the organization, the group, the body that actually is responsible for the financial health and for the budgets that we have, is the Pacifica National Board. And so that means that the National Finance Committee can question and change budgets that may be submitted by individual units, and then the Pacifica National Board has the final authority to do the same thing. And it's a responsibility. One of the things that I have preached all year that I came on board talking about is we have to operate at a level of expense below revenue. Mm-hmm. And we need to do everything we can to bring every unit into that formula. First of all, we don't have reserves anywhere in the organization, so we don't have anything to fall back on. And secondly, even if we have reserves, it's not good policy to be spending more than we're bringing in unless we have very extenuating circumstances, and then there are times when you do deplete sometimes some reserves. It's one of the reasons you have reserves. I've long been a part of the philosophy that a station should have 3 months' worth of operating expenses in reserve. Coming out of Florida, it was always hurricanes that we were thinking about. And we did get hit by a no-name storm during one fundraiser. And the station that I come from in Florida at that time was doing 2 weeks of fundraising a year, 1 week in the spring and one in the fall. So if you have 1 week fail, that's half of your listener revenue for the year. You at least need 3 months in the bank to recover and be able to put on an emergency fundraiser to cover that period that you had lost. I know that none of us are operating that way, but ideally that's what we should be striving for, in my opinion. Another responsibility of the board, also in the fiscal area, is to be sure that we have an annual audit. And that, we've had a very capable audit committee, and we have certainly fulfilled that legal requirement as far back as I'm aware of, going back before my time. Another responsibility of the board listed in the bylaws is communication. And although it's not spelled out totally, I think that includes communication with each other, communication with our officers, communication with our staff, and I think it also implies civil communication. And so I'm asking everyone to, again, think before you speak. And lastly, the responsibility that you have that is spelled out in the bylaws is to supervise, hire, evaluate, and or participate in the firing of the executive director, chief financial officer, and to elect the officers of the organization. Those are basically the responsibilities of board members as spelled out in the bylaws. If there are any questions about those specific things, I'll take them, and then I'd like to do a real quick run-through on the bylaws. You have a copy in front of you. I believe that this time they're in red folders. And I'd just like to point out a few specific things, since as an organization, we do have rather lengthy and wordy bylaws.
Just a few holes in them here and there.
Okay. The first thing that I'd... What? Am I getting back to you? Okay, sorry. Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Okay, the first thing I'd like you to make sure you take a look at is Section 1 of the bylaws, and there it spells out the name of the organization, the purpose, the principles, and the commitment to diversity. There are four sections there. The second thing that I'd like to bring to your attention, and you know, maybe you want to take a highlighter and mark a few of these things or jot down these numbers and make sure you go back and at least read these sections. You don't have to wade through everything that's in those bylaws right now, although at some point you should read them completely. But Article 3 defines members, and there are two types of members, listener-sponsor members and staff. I think pretty much everybody's aware of that. And every member must be affiliated with one station. So even if you're making contributions that are at the membership level to more than one station, when it comes to voting or other rights, you'll only have rights associated with one station. When you get to also in Article 3, Section 6B, which is on page 4, you'll find that it defines how special meetings may be called. And if you are thinking about the need for a special meeting at any time, that's a place that you need to turn to determine how it can be done. In Article 5, on page 10, you'll see that it talks about the responsibilities of board members, and that's basically what I went through at the beginning. That's a very, very important section for you to be familiar with. In Article 6, on page 14, Section 4 deals with notice for meetings. That's an important one, particularly for those of you that may be, whoever may be chair of this board and whoever may be chair of various committees. For regular meetings, there is supposed to be 30-day posted notice, and for special meetings, at least 7 days, and then it does go through what the exceptions can be and how an emergency meeting can be called if absolutely necessary. Section 5 defines a quorum. And a quorum in our bylaws is defined as a majority of the serving directors. So if we have 22 people on the board, that means that we have to have 12 people present for a quorum. And then in order for something to pass, it has to be a majority of those people present, so it's a minimum of 7 if we're dealing with a bare quorum. Even if some people have left, the quorum still counts, but you still need the minimum of 7 if it was 12 people there, or 8 if it was 15 people there, on and on. Sometimes people misunderstand how that works. We have no proxy voting. So if you can't attend in person, no one else can exercise your right to vote, even if you give them a written instruction. And with certain exceptions, our meetings are to be open. Those are the important things, I think, in Article 6. Article 7, beginning on page 15, defines the powers of an LSB. It defines the LSB as a standing committee of the PNB. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding as to what local boards, what their powers are, and what they actually are, and what they do. What that really means is that the ultimate responsibility, and I guess I could say power, belongs to the PNB. And so the LSB can make recommendations, as any committee can. They can ask for certain things, but they don't actually have the power to do a lot of things. They do have a few. They have the right to review and approve the budget, and I went through that earlier. They also should or have the right to ask for and to develop and monitor quarterly reports, financial reports for their station. They are designated as the unit that does the initial screening, interviews, and recommendations of a list of people for a general manager. And then that goes to the executive director. A similar process with the program director at the station, except that the recommendations there go to the general manager for final selection of the program director. The LSB is supposed to evaluate the general manager yearly and get that to me, and I'm also to provide a yearly evaluation of the general manager. The LSB may initiate firing a general manager. Now, in order for that general manager to be fired, it either takes the executive director concurrence with the LSB, or if the executive director disagrees, the LSB can take it to the PNB. But it takes two out of the three to fire a general manager. The bylaws say that the LSB is responsible for holding at least two town hall type meetings a year. I'm not sure that most of us are even aware that that's in there, but I picked that up this time. I will admit I've read these bylaws many, many times, and I've never actually stopped to notice that one specifically. Other responsibilities of the LSB are to participate in fundraising. And that's one of the biggest complaints that I hear from staff members and board members, is that the board doesn't get involved much in that at most of our stations. They're also to participate in outreach, to participate in making sure that the station has diversity. And again, it defines a quorum for the LSB, and it's defined the same way it is for the PNB.
Campbell.
Yes, Campbell.
I just wanted to dwell on that point about the diversity issue, because Section 4 indicates that in each of the foundation's radio station areas, standing committees of the board to monitor underrepresentation of communities in their respective radio stations, these committees of inclusion, and it specifies what they should consist of, and I don't know that they are in existence in all of our station areas, and I think that this is something we need to be sure we monitor closely and that appropriate reports come out of them. Thank you.
And I might also, since you brought that up, mention the Community Advisory Board, which is not specified in our bylaws, but it is a requirement under our CPB funding that we have a Community Advisory Board and that they have at least quarterly meetings. So that's something else you should be aware of.
Arlene?
Yes?
Just to keep you posted on where we're at with time, probably just a few more minutes before we go to the...
I'm within 5 minutes of wrapping up.
Beautiful. Thank you. Of course, Teresa.
Arlene, I also wanted to say, here at KPFT, we've taken a big step. At our last local station board meeting, we passed a resolution that had been proposed by the development committee, and that is that each of the local station board members will attempt to raise at least $1,000 for the station. So that's $24,000 right there. And I'm not talking about just working the phones. I'm talking about talking to somebody and motivating them to give us checks. So,
talking to organizations, there are all kinds of ways, participating in events, etc. In Section 8, it does define the standing committees, and since you will be selecting committees to participate in, I thought I would just give a quick list and remind you to go. That's beginning on page 19. There's a coordinating committee, a governance committee, a technology committee, a programming committee, finance, and audit. And there are definitions for what the membership of those committees consists of. I'm not going to go through that now, but I urge you to take a look at it. That's on page 19. And I would also like to make the recommendation that we should have a development committee.
Aha, thank you.
And so I'd like to see that added.
Here.
Page 22 talks about your non-liability as an individual and the insurance that we carry, and that's important for you. But there are certain areas where you certainly are liable as an individual, and Ricardo will fill you in on those when he's talking about legal matters. But you should be aware what your responsibilities and what your risk may be as a board member. Article 17 is very important, partly because it's so difficult in this organization. It's understandable that after the difficulties that culminated at WBAI in 2001, but Berkeley in 99 and other stations before that, that when these bylaws came out of those issues, there were many things put into the bylaws to make sure that that kind of takeover, hopefully, could not happen again. And I applaud that. I remember following that from my community radio station and being horrified at what might have happened to Pacifica. Unfortunately, one of the things in the bylaws is that they were made very, very difficult to amend. And so you need to familiarize yourself with the way they can be amended. We can only pass amendments to the bylaws once each year, and there's a specific time frame and who has to pass things in order for them to pass. And so it's early in the year. It's a good time to start thinking ahead toward what kind of amendments, if any, you might like to see passed in the fall. There are some things that are not necessarily totally bylaw related, but we're certainly going to need to be looking at this year, and that's our election process and what we can do to make it less contentious, more efficient, and less costly. And then Section 20 tells you how to propose amendments, or Article 20. And so that's just kind of a quick run through of the bylaws. I urge you to read them. I urge you to keep them with you and to refer to them if you're considering things and aren't sure how to proceed. And I want to welcome, I don't think I said it at the beginning, but I want to welcome all the new board members. I want to also welcome the returning board members. I want to tell you that I have enjoyed working with you in spite of the chaos and difficulty of the last year. And I'm hoping that this year may be a little smoother and that we can have a little bit more teamwork, but that we also can move this network forward and really provide the progressive voice for this country that we need, the representation to people that don't get it anywhere else. Any questions?
Questions are coming after.
Okay.
People have been asking occasional questions, not a whole flood if you have a question, but yeah. Okay. Thank you, Arlene.